It's great to be here again today. Last week after I went home, I'm not sure what I said or what I preached about. I hope today to make a little bit more sense. I'm feeling a lot stronger, on the mend, and things are going good. If I can just find my documents here. There we go. Is this the right one? Yes, yes. Okay, it's working itself out. There we go. I'm so excited to be here again today. And I just want to, once again, thank you so much for all your prayers while I was away. And Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe we should go back and just re-preach that whole series for us. I feel like I've been through the ringer for the last month, but I'm on the mend. I'm feeling good. Still a little bit of pain, but my foot's a bit messed up today, and so, but I could hardly walk coming in here, but I must be honest, through praise and worship, I just felt some of the pain dissipate, and so I'm feeling a lot better, and little bit limpy, but that's okay. I'll get it into a groove while we're preaching, and there we go. You won't even notice it's there. So, yeah, as Bridget said, not to belabor the point, but there is power in the name of Jesus. I'm not demon possessed, but I have been oppressed. Depression's a terrible thing. I've felt the entrails or the tanglement of depression trying to take over. And all we did was we just prayed and we just called on the name of Jesus and listened to worship and read His Word. And that's why freedom. Freedom from a sick bed. Freedom and liberty. Freedom to rejoice. Freedom to stand and preach. Freedom to give the gospel. Freedom to congratulate Dom, how the leg's doing. Most of you don't know Dom did the CN Tower this morning. 1,776 steps. You're a champion, bro. So, turn with me to the book of Genesis. No, I'm joking. Galatians. Hey, last couple of verses we're going to look at today. And it helps if I get this thing functioning. Today I want to talk about freedom to boast. It's not the boasting you're thinking about right now. The freedom to boast we're going to talk about is on a different level altogether. How did you put it, Chris, from the natural to the spiritual? What's natural into the spiritual? We're going to talk about spiritual boasting. Is there such a thing? Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 11. So Paul has obviously had someone dictating this for him, and now Paul decides to add his hand to this little bit, and he says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised." Sorry, my throat is a lot better. Michael cleared his throat. I thought he's telling me to clear mine. Aye, aye, aye. Okay, let's start again. "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." What? These are the religious leaders. "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Wow. "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Amazing piece of scripture. Wonderfully exciting. Wonderfully helpful. Remember, we started off this series, Freedom. And I hope over the period of time, you know, this is part 9 that we're doing. We could have probably done up to part 20 or 30. We could have duplicated it over again. Instead of taking such chunky pieces of scriptures, we could have done a little bit more and extended it. But I trust by the time we finish today that you're going to go home with new eyes, and you're going to go and you're going to read the book of Galatians and read the book of Galatians and read the book of Galatians and look at it from the freedom we have in Christ, the freedom we have to boast, the freedom to run, the freedom in God, the freedom, whatever we... the titles where we spoke about, and understand the liberty and the freedom and the truth. And you know, it's, Galatians for me, I know I've said this is my best book of the Bible for me. But when we look at it and understand the new covenant and what Christ has done for us and how we live and how we should behave and how we function, and we look at Galatians, and all we could ever say is, I'm justified by faith. I am free from all these things of the world. As Paul closes off saying, I'm dead to the things of the world, and we'll talk about that later, and the world to me, and I live in this freedom and this liberty. We have to get excited. Because if you don't, perhaps you're not saved. Oops. Justification by grace alone. It's the only way we can be saved. By grace alone. God's grace. God's pleasure in us is not based on our performance for Him. I'm speaking slowly because I'm thinking slowly. Everyone told me last week, that was much better, Mark, because you spoke so slowly. I was like, what? I was going as fast as I could. God's pleasure in us. Listen carefully to these words. Let them be imprinted upon your heart and your mind. God's pleasure in us is not based on our performance. He's not a big daddy in the sky waiting for us to perform to love us. It's based on Christ's performance in us, for us, and through us. All we are is to be good conduits, good children. By grace alone, through what? Through faith. Faith. What is faith? And I know immediately a scripture came to your minds. We can't just quote the scriptures, we've got to live the scriptures. We've got to get it into us. I don't have to stand before you and go, I'm a man, I think I'm a man, maybe I'm a man, perhaps I'm a man. I know that I'm not a woman. By faith alone. Not faith plus works. Not faith plus a little bit of work. Faith alone. Faith, period. Not semicolon, not dash, not slash, not hyphenated, not nothing. Just simple faith, period. It's the only way I can be justified by God. Because God said so. Yeah. It's the only way we can live sanctified is to know that we are redeemed, that we are justified, we are saved because of what Jesus did. We've seen that we live by faith, justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what we looked at in Galatians 1 and 2, really. Galatians 3, I'm going to speed up a little bit, shows us the pinnacle of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. We see that, remember, I went back to Genesis a little bit there, and Chris helped us to see it in a much deeper form later on, in part six, somewhere along there, anyway. That everything, that Christ was superior to Abraham and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that stuff. But what did all that do for us? That helped us, and what was it doing? Pointing us to Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of the Messiah to come. The one who would come, who will fulfill the law completely, and that we might be full of freedom. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given to Moses." Take these scriptures, write them down, go meditate on them. The law was given to Moses. Father God, Moses, here is the law, take it and go and do it. And show these poor people how to do it. Semicolon. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is grace. Grace is not a feeling. Grace is not an emotion. Grace is not a thought in our heads. Grace is Jesus Christ and truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." It's the only way we can come to the Father. Hebrews 7:22. This makes Jesus the guarantee or the guarantor of a better covenant. In Christ alone, He is the object of our faith. Justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then we get to Galatians 6, where Paul reveals the culmination of these five chapters, this beautiful letter that he wrote to these four churches that we started out with. And he says that when he gets there, "I know it's faith alone, I know it's Christ alone, I know it's grace alone, but I only want to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ." Galatians 6:14. "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Can we get into Paul's headspace? Can we truly stand and say, "I, Christopher Walkington, be far from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And you put your own name in there. Because this is where the headspace we need to get into for us to grasp this whole thing on freedom and sanctification and justification. Remember we did this series, How Amazing is Grace? I think that was the title of it. We need to understand there were three things that came out of that thing. Number one, to understand the person of Jesus Christ. Number two is to understand His righteousness. And number three is to understand the finished work of the cross. Because if we don't understand that, we can never understand what grace is all about. We cannot understand the price that was paid. I know today in worship, just going through it, it reminded me when I first went to church. And I'd get into worship and I loved the songs and I loved the band and I loved the environment. But I used to get distracted in my head. And so the way I used to help myself get undistracted was I wouldn't even look at the words. I memorized the words. So when we sang the songs, I just kept my eyes closed. And I didn't care what was going on around me. I didn't care who was sitting next to me. I didn't care who was in front of me or behind me. I would focus. And the way I would do it, I would put a picture of the cross in my memory bank. And I would think of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because if the enemy didn't want me to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy wanted me to stay a heathen. He wanted me to stay distracted. He wanted me to love the things of the world. And the world loved me. But as I stood and focused, and it took time, it was about 6 months before I think the enemy said, "Oh, well, this is a lost cause." I wasn't a lost cause, I was a great cause. Each one of you are a great cause for the kingdom. The world has been crucified to me. What does Paul say? The entire worldly system, everything that is in opposition to Christ, he says has been crucified to me. It's dead. It's destroyed. It has no pull on me. It has no influence on me. It has no power. It has no appeal to me. Let's get into his headspace. And in the same vein, he says, an eye to the world. Paul says, I realize I have a new master. I have a new covenant. I have a new relationship. Whoa. Our last two series we did, I have a legacy and I have an inheritance. Paul realized he had a legacy that had been given to him. There was an inheritance for him. Do we get it? Do we get that through the cross, through the person of Jesus Christ, through His righteousness in us, through the power of the finished work of the cross, I have a new master? This world is not my master. I don't subscribe to the things of this world. I don't obey the things of this world. There is no attraction for me in the things of this world. Don't be silly now. I'm not talking about having great careers and all that kind of stuff and being prosperous, of course, and having a good family and being a good provider. But our focus has got to be Jesus Christ and the cross that He died on. This study, I hope, has helped us to see freedom, grace-saturated, cross-centered, Jesus-exalted. That's it. I'll say it again. I hope for you and for me, and it has. Bear in mind, as I say, each time I study the Word of God, each time I prepare a sermon, I'm challenged. Because I know I cannot stand at the pulpit and tell you to do something I've never done or I can't do, or, well, it's an issue, I'll just tell them and then I'll just go and live my life merry way. No, it doesn't work that way. Because I'm going to be challenged, I'm going to be tempted, I'm going to be focused and faced with things. I believe I was very vulnerable last week with you all. If I just be vulnerable again, do you know that even during this week, I love you all. I'm excited to be here. I love preaching the Word of God. This is what, as we would say on the leadership team, this is what gives me shiny eyes. This is what energizes me. I mean, I don't preach here and go, I'm so exhausted. No, I'm energized. I'm like the Energizer Bunny now that's just had new battery stuck in it. You know, when I'm finished preaching, I'm like, okay, well, there was only 40 minutes. Can I go for another 40 minutes? You know, shiny thing. This energizes me. But you know, thoughts were put in my head this week. Yeah, you've been so sick, you're not pretty good at this stuff. Just find one of the elders, let them preach, because you're not going to handle this. No, I am. By the grace of Jesus Christ. By His strength. Not in me, in Him. So just as a closing thing to say, I want us to look at three reasons why we boast in the cross. What happened here? Okay, there we go. Number one, the cross confronts us with the reality of our sin. The cross confronts us with the reality of the sin. Just remember back when we go back to chapters 1 and 2, the Judaizers were not saying Jesus didn't die on a cross. They were not saying that Jesus wasn't crucified. They were agreeing. They were saying, no, Jesus was crucified. But what they were also saying was, Jesus did His thing on the cross, over here, I'll get here, and we get to do our thing for our salvation over here. That's what they were saying. So Jesus did His thing on the cross, over there. Now when we get here, you guys are going to have to get circumcised, speaking to the Gentiles. And then you have to follow all the rules and regulations. Then you'll be good. Then you're ready, you're good to go. Good to trot, as they would say. Because we follow it. Except one problem. When Jesus hung between heaven and earth, between life and death on the cross, one of the things he did say was, "It is finished." What was finished? It's a good question. Number one, there were two things that were actually finished. Number one, his work on earth was done. He came to do the Father's will. He obeyed, he did the Father's will. The second one has more import than we sometimes even think about. Jesus came as the perfect Lamb, the one and only sacrifice, so that we don't have to do all the rituals and regulations and rules that they had there, 600 and X amount that were there. Jesus, we don't have to do that stuff again because he said it is finished. And that's why you've heard me say so many times, we think Jesus died on the cross, then I've got to come over here and I've got to do. But it's all done, because he said it is finished. He made a declaration into the spiritual realms. It is done. It is finished. It is over with. The old covenant is done. We're now living in the new covenant, and by shedding his blood upon the cross, he cut the covenant. His body was broken for us. And he created the new covenant. And as I said before, I've got in my notes here somewhere, the covenant wasn't cut for you, but between you and me. It was cut between the Father and the Son on our behalf. And the Son never ever messed up. And the Son didn't have to do anything else because he was perfect in every way. And all we have to do is live in the glory and the freedom and the liberty and the righteousness of the new covenant. Come on. And all we don't have to say, well, I know. Put your hand, no, don't. Put your hand up, no, don't. If you messed up this last week and thought, I dishonored God, I didn't get his favor, you're not part of the covenant, you're a recipient of the covenant. And so when you mess up, he's, Father, forgive me. Yeah. I'm a father. I confess my sin to you, Lord God, I messed up. In truth and in wholeness, of course. Because the covenant is still intact. Because the Father cut it with the Son. I know I've said it before. Remember I spoke about Synthiki, Diatheki, two different covenants. Michael and I cut a covenant. And we're equals. I think so. And I mess up. Let's not blame Michael. I mess up, so the covenant's messed up. Diatheki, the greater to the lesser on our behalf. So when we mess up, the covenant's still in place. And the Son says, it's okay, Father. And he sits on his judgment bench and he said, I'm interceding for him. I know he needs a lot of intercession, but don't worry, it's covered. Oh, I missed my place completely. Unfortunately, some of us still live in the place where it's not finished. I've got my things to do. I've got to do more. No. The reality of our sin says we are slaves to sin. Reality in Galatians 6 reminds us, remember we spoke about last week, freedom to something and carry. Can't remember the first word. Love. Freedom to love and carry. Remember 1 Corinthians? If you don't have, you can prophesy, you can do all this kind of stuff. You can be smart, you can sell everything, you can do whatever you want, but if you don't have love, you're as a big fat zero. That's a colloquial way of putting it. Nada. Nothing. He says, but if your brother is caught in a sin, restore him gently. You who are mature, restore him gently. Galatians 3 says we are held captive by sin. We've been captivated. 2 Timothy 2:23, I think it is, says, beware that you might be captured by sin to do the will of the enemy. I'm a king's kid, but I can still allow. I could have lain in my bed there and gone, oh, I'm so depressed. I'm just depressed. I'm just going to be depressed. And got depressed. No. I recognized. I said, no, I'm not going to be depressed. Put on the worship CD. Praise God. Called on the name of Jesus. Said, Bridget, please pray. Let's pray. I won't. Won't lie down. Old body broken, but I'm still standing up on the inside. And literally now too. So anyway. Galatians says we're held captive. Galatians 4 says at least 8 times it talks about slavery and being slaves, etc. Romans 6 and 7, slave, slave, slave. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Because when the enemy comes to oppress us, depress us, suppress us, whatever press us, we can just go, yeah, okay, and lie down. Or we can say, no, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm better than this. I'm a child of the heavenly God. I live in a new covenant. I am righteous in His sight. I am full of faith. I have holy hands. I can lift up holy hands and pray. And we don't have to be dead in our sins. We don't have to be slaves to our sins, because the second one says we are dead in our sins. Galatians 3:10-13. See yourself this way. We don't have time. See yourself this way. We are cursed before God. Let's just back up a little bit and say, oh, but I'm a child of the king. Yeah, no, okay, just work with me on this one. It says we're condemned on the slave block, sold into slavery. Why? Because of our inability to obey the law. We couldn't keep it. We couldn't fulfill it. That's why we need Jesus to come. That's why we need a Savior. We can't get through life. We can't get into eternal life without Jesus as our Savior. Ephesians 2 says, we see the same message writing to the church in Ephesians. He says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. We were dead in our sins, but I love Ephesians 2. It comes and says, but now, made alive in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, when we kneel before the Heavenly Father, whose name is above all names, who all children are called by His name. And we declare, no, I'm alive in Jesus Christ. I am not a slave to sin any longer. I am not dead in our sins. And here's another one that we might not like. Well, because I can do everything. Do you know who I am? Do you know the degrees I have? Do you know the kind of corporation I run? Do you know how much money I have in the bank? Do you know how smart I am? Do you know how many abilities God gave me? We are unable to save ourselves. Well, Mark, that's a downer. That's not helpful. No, this is the reality of the cross confronts us with our sin. And that's why we say the cross is offensive to some. A slave to sin, dead to sin, I can't save myself. That's a bit of a downer. What slave can pay for his freedom price? Just think about it. What dead man can raise himself from the dead, from the grave? None. And that's who we are, were. I won't say are, who we are. You can do all the rituals. You can argue all the arguments. You can have your opinion about everything. You can follow circumcision. You can do the rules and your regulations. You cannot save yourself. You will not make it. This is why I've said the cross is such an offense. It doesn't mix well with many religions. The cross doesn't do good in most religions. Some just see it as a symbol. Some just see it as a sign, to have something to hang around your neck because it's a nice piece of bling bling. Some look at it and say, well, you guys have got that because you need a little, you've got a few issues. But what we need to do is put our work forward, and God will take that into account. Because we go to the bookstore, we find the next book on 3 ways to be a better Christian, 4 ways to be a better salvationist, 5 ways to lead a better Christian life. I'm not saying it's all bad stuff. We have to understand, though, It's all in the cross of Jesus Christ. What we need to do is go to the cross, see the cross for what it is, grasp hold of the divine exchange that took place. I encourage you, go home, put on some worship, and meditate and think about what took place on the cross. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation of what took place upon the cross. What was it? Oh, Jesus died on the cross, buried in the tomb 3 days, rose again after 3 days, blah, 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 nice miracles, 40 days, went up to heaven. Gee, that's nice. It's not nice. It's amazing. It's absolutely wondrous. When I sit and meditate on it, it blows my brain completely. But when I think of the heaven and earth, the curtain being torn top to bottom, entrance for us into the Father, the freedom and the liberty granted to us in that one act, a cataclysmic moment in the history of all time that took place. An earthquake. In the middle of the afternoon, the sky was darkened. Lightning and thunder came. It shook. These are all facts. These aren't made up stories. What caused that? The death of the Son of God. Heaven rebelling against earth, but ready to take His Son home and for us to be able to live in freedom. See the weight, the wrath of God upon Jesus Christ, because it says He took upon the curse upon Himself. Every sin you ever, past, present, and future, committed was taken upon Jesus Christ that day. That should bring you to your knees, if nothing else. How ludicrous it is to say, thank you, Jesus, for doing your part. I'm now going to do mine. As He hung between heaven and earth, naked, so we come to the cross, naked. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that dear cross, the dearest and best. Can't remember the rest. For a world of lost sinners was slain. Thank you, Chris. We are slaves to sin. We are dead to our sin. We are unable to save ourselves. We don't need a superficial religion. We don't need a face show party, a religion that appeals to our self-esteem, our self-saturated egos. Since Genesis, Chris, where Cain killed his brother Abel, man has tried to use religion to cover his sin. In Galatians, there were circumstances and rituals of the day, and today it still can be that, and sometimes it still is. I remember a guy came in here one day, and I mean, we all come dressed differently. Came in here in his suit and his tie, and he said to us, so what's this, dress down Sunday? No, actual fact, we're all dressed up today for the King. I'm not even going to go down this rabbit hole, but you can go for yourself. What religion dictates... I mean, I love ladies who wear hats. I don't have anything against it. And they go and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a hat so you can show it off at church. You think, oh, I'm not joking. Your outfits for church are way more expensive than the ones you go to work in. I know none of us are like that here. I mean, some are dressed finely, of course. And then some are t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops. That's all cool. What we need is a supernatural regeneration. The cross confronts us with the reality of our sin and offends our pride to the core and says, you need God to do the work in that you cannot accomplish it on your own. There are many people who are self-starters in this room. Many people highly gifted and talented in many areas. I'm not just talking business. Some of the wives here are the best homemakers you will ever find. That all means nothing though. Oh my. We can't accomplish it. We need Him. Set Him free. Give us life. And He does it and He says it by the cross. So we can boast and say, yes, that's where my glory lies, in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where my joy is, in the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to go a little bit quicker. Point number two. The cross provides us a Savior. The Judaizers were trying to provide another way. They were trying to, as we read, they were trying to show this outward impression of God. Well, if you do this, if you get circumstance, and we're going to force you to do it, but actual fact, we're not going to really listen or do anything, so the scripture tells us. He says, we need to understand the cross doesn't look at the outward appearance of man. The outward appearance of man doesn't actually matter how we dress to come to church. Doesn't matter whether I can't do it today, but you know how sometimes people walk on their tiptoes because we're in hallowed halls. I am the hallowed hall. I am the temple of Jesus Christ. This is what needs to be holy. The atmosphere and presence of God comes when we walk in this room. This is just a room, beautifully painted room. His presence arrives when we walk through the doors. People in religion say, well, Holy Spirit's not here. You don't know your Bible. You don't understand the things of God. Let's go. Christianity is not about human achievement. Galatians 6:12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. And that's why they had to make sure that their robes are good and their phylacteries were all in place and they had all the tassels in the right order and they wore the right headgear and they marched at a certain angle with their chin up, you know, face forward. You've seen the movies on how it's all done. If it was modern day, they'd have their finest on and carry the Bible at a certain angle. The Bible's got to be not like this, it's got to be like this. Because that's the right angle. Perpendicular to the shadow of the cross. I know I'm talking nonsense now. All the other religions, thousands of them will show you and tell you, here's what you have to do and how to do it and when to do it and what to do and what... Louise shared part of her trip to Nepal yesterday with the ladies at the breakfast, and one of the things she shared was she met a Shiva devotee, and he came to her and he wasn't being funny, and he wanted her for him to be allowed to do something good for her. So she didn't allow him to do something good, I don't think. What she did allow him to do was for her to preach the gospel to him. And so she said, well, why are you doing this stuff? He says, well, I'm a devotee of Shiva. And I have to do 20 good things today for people. I said, why? He says, well, because if I do 20 good things for people, then that goodness will come back to me, and then Shiva will be pleased with me. What? The gospel says you can do nothing to please God. He already takes full pleasure in us as His children. Just think of that. As we sit here now, as we listen, as we meditate, as we think, our Father is pleased with us. Christianity is about the divine exchange. The cross has accomplished it all. I get nervous when I hear Christians who are confused about being other ways to God. Now, there are other ways to God. There are other ways I can get there. There are other things I can do. There's another way to God. Now, that's why people we spoke this morning are, there's power in the name of Jesus. When we actually sit down and we say, well, what kind of God do you say? If we speak about God, people will accept that because it's okay to talk about God, because it could be God with a capital G, it could be God with a little g, it could be the tree outside, it could be the star upstairs, it could be the fern in your back garden. But there's only one Jesus. And there's power in the name of Jesus. And when you start talking about God and people go off into la la land about God and all, do yourselves a test. Look them in the eyes and mention the name Jesus. And see what happens. And when this guy that Louise was talking about, she said, by all means, he could have been a Christian because he said and he did all the right things. We were slightly confounded when it came to Jesus. Because thousands of other gods he knew. He thought he knew Jesus. He didn't. Christianity is about the divine exchange that took place in the heavenlies. We don't live for the applause of men. Galatians 6:12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. Galatians 13, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. What? But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. I don't want nobody boasting in my flesh. I want everybody boasting in the name of Jesus, in the power of the cross. My church is better than your church. We only preach the truth, you know. No, I'm telling you, there are churches in Pickering and Ajax who declare that. And some will say that none of you are saved. Because you're sort of like a charismatic type, Pentecostal type, strange animal. I'm not joking. Listen to this. We make our Christian experience about human achievement. We make our ministry about human achievement. I've sat with pastors who said to me, I want to make my name famous. I want to be famous. If anyone follow me on Skype at all, you will see my little bulletin on my Skype thing is, I want to captivate the genius of plotting for the king. That's it. I don't want to be famous. I want Jesus to be famous. I want to boast in the cross, and I want to make his name famous. And as long as I'm leading this church, we're going to make Jesus famous. And we're going to boast in the cross, and we're going to honor him, and we declare his sovereignty, and we're going to declare his superiority, and we're going to declare that Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no other. Just in case anyone's confused what I'm all about. We live with the pleasure of God. Not for the applause of men, but with the pleasure of God, because his pleasure is already in us. We are already favored, as Ken gave his testimony this morning. He favors us. And you might say, well, how do you see that, Mark? I don't know right now sometimes. Jesus, why didn't you heal me? I don't know. But I'm still trusting. I'm not lying down. I'm not being oppressed by the enemy. I'm not sitting back. I'm not sitting down. I'm upstanding. I'm right. Making his name famous, declaring his health. I'm declaring his prosperity. I'm declaring his righteousness. And you can declare it with me too. And we can talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, please give me 5 more minutes. I've got one more point to make, but while I'm on that thought, I think I've told the story before. I love listening to, don't shoot me, Elvis Presley. I think Elvis has still got the best voice ever. I sat and wept in my office yesterday preparing. I went in and I listened to him sing The Old Rugged Cross. And as he sang, the tears just ran down my cheeks. And do you know that Elvis went to a concert once It was one of his earlier concerts. And the whole front row was all these teeny boppers and what do you call them?
Groupies.
And as he came out onto stage, they unfurled this banner. And as he started singing, they unfurled this banner and the banner said, King of Kings. He stopped the show. And he said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. However, there is only one king, and his name is Jesus. That's why I love Elvis so much. Anyway, we live for the pleasure of God. The pleasure of God in us is based on Christ in us and the performance of Christ in us. The new creation are free. We live in freedom. Point number three, last one. The cross offers us every good thing we have. Now before we, yeah, but I work so hard for that car and that house and all that kind of stuff. Just World Safari, just listen to me. At the cross, I realize, and I hope you realize with me, that if the cross was not there, if there was no cross, we have nothing but condemnation from God. And we are dead in our sins, and we are lost in our sins, and there is no reality. If the cross is not there, I am a sinner standing before a holy God who receives nothing but judgment. Think about it. And condemnation. Then I believe and I realize that only because of the cross that I have the opportunity to enjoy the good things that we have here. There's much better beyond. But because of the cross, I take the opportunity to enjoy what we have here. Sometimes we take good things for granted. Somehow God owes me these things. I work hard, so therefore I am due a good salary. Therefore I am due a good house and a good wife and good kids and good job and all this kind of stuff. But they're all evidence of God's grace upon our lives. Because we get this opportunity. And we see everyday joys in life and things I want to say that I'm proud of. Now we're coming back to what we boast in and what we can be proud of. If we see it at the right angle and from the right perspective and through the right lenses, then we can say, parents, you can say, I'm proud of my child and their achievements. But let me just bring it back into our own family to give you as an illustration. I want to say I'm proud and I want to boast and I realize that this is possible because of Christ has paid the price for my daughter. And I'm proud of her. I'm not just saying it, I really am. And I boast in her. Because she's a trophy of God's grace. Because of the cross, I can say that through the cross, I'm proud of my child. Not because I'm all arrogant, but because there's a spiritual reality to it. Christ has paid the price for my daughter. Christ has paid the price for each one of you. Christ has paid the price for your children. And our job is to raise them in the way and the things of the Lord, that they would one day make a conscious decision for Him. I'm proud of her accomplishments, but I realize that any good thing that I have in my wife Bridget and in my daughter is because of the cross. So Mark, you're stretching that a little bit. No. If we understand the finished work of the cross, if we understand the person of Jesus, if we understand His righteousness in us, it's all because we see it and we can boast in the cross. And we can in truth say, man, I'm proud of that thing. I'm proud of Dom this morning. He did what something I would never be able to do. 1,776 days. Yeah, exactly. We're a family of faith who boast in the cross in every good thing we have. Can you sit around your dining room table and do the same and realize it's because of the cross? Even the bad things that God gives or seems to allow happen in our life. God doesn't give us bad things. Bad stuff happens. Say, I still say, I glory in the cross. I glory in my illness. I glory in my painful foot. I don't know what's going on. My body's all messed up, but Jesus Christ, I'm still redeemed. I'm still salvation. I'm still sanctified. I'm still justified. I'm still going home to a great Father. Last 2 points or 3 points. We have been recreated by His Spirit. This is where it gets exciting for us. Galatians 6:15, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. You, me, we are all new creations in Christ Jesus. We didn't have an oil change out. We didn't have an engine part. We didn't need some piping change. He came along and said, all old, all new. Poof. I know, same decaying old body, but new. Everything new. All the workings, new. Heart renewed, mind renewed. Thought patterns renewed. Speech renewed. Lifestyle renewed. Change the way I treat others. When you are renewed in Christ Jesus, I ask you, husbands, how do you treat your wives? Is that renewed? Or is it the same old, same old? Hallelujah, I'm a Christian. Babes, you're an idiot. Now that's how you talk, that's how some people talk. Are you stupid? You're a donkey. Wives. Heart renewed, mind renewed. How do you treat your husbands? Parents. Heart renewed, mind renewed, thought pattern renewed, lifestyle renewed. How do you treat your children? How do you speak to others? Do you speak gently to your wives, husbands? Are you encouraging? The next words that come out your mouth, are they edifying, uplifting, encouraging? If not, go back to the cross. Go back to your Father. Brothers and sisters, I know there's always that kind of rivalry in the family. How do you treat each other? I'm reborn, I'm a king's kid. I learned good stuff in Sunday school. Now when I got home, woo-wee. Romans 12:1-2, read it. We live by the rule of the gospel. Next point. Galatians 6:16, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon you. What rule? I am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. I am a new creation. Remember in part 2 or 3, we did legalism was the right behavior with wrong belief. Hypocrisy, right belief, wrong behavior. That's what I've just spoken about. Faith, right belief, right behavior. Last point, because I keep promising the last point. We are eternal recipients of His grace. Paul opens this letter and he says, Galatians 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He closes the letter, Galatians 6:18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. We receive His grace now. We will receive His grace eternally. Let's just stand together this morning. Thank you. Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of your Son Jesus, the name that is above all names. And Father, we come this morning, we thank you for our salvation, our justification, our redemption by grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone, through the cross alone. And Lord God, we come with hearts this morning that would say, Father, read me like an open book. As you already do anyway. But God, I just come and we just lift our hearts to you. And Lord God, let us boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ. Let us boast in the cross to make His name famous, to declare His goodness, your awesomeness, Jesus Christ. Bless us as we go today. Let your grace increase upon our lives. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.